This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
I wish I was a dog, you know? I look at my dogs and I'm like, that's a good life. You know, not that every dog has a good life, but if you're a dog that does have a good life, I don't know if there's any better life. I mean, there's no responsibility with these guys. All they got to do is be cute, be petted when I'm ready to pet, nap when I'm ready to nap, you know, and they get 2 square meals a day. They get people food whenever I'm eating. I always throw a little bit at them. So it's not like I'd have to totally do without people food. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it's a pretty good gig being a dog.
And let's be honest. I look at my dog's life and I say, wow, this dog's living it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I follow this dog around with a plastic bag and wait for it to shit in the lawn so I can grab this dog. Can you just put it in perspective? If someone followed you around and picked up your shit up off the lawn, and then you just kind of kick some grass over it disrespectfully and walk off.
I mean, who's the master? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you're the one following the dog to pick up its shit, doesn't that make the dog the master?
Not to mention the fact that we keep leashes on them because if we didn't, they would tell us to fuck off and go live their own life. Mm. We're the ones, like, the leash is basically them holding it around their neck, holding on to us because we're the ones, we're not going to run away. That dog, listen, I know a lot of dogs won't run away, but there's even a large portion of them that are living this good life would still walk off because that's zero fucks. That's the level of humanity you want to be at, where even if shit is just going your way, sometimes, you know what? You know, well, fuck you. I'm out. Like, or whatever, right? I got to, you know what I mean? Like, that's that medium of just, this is me doing me. You're going to follow me around with a bag of shit. All right. You're going to make sure you open that door for me so I can go piss outside.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to put food and water in my bowl, and that's it.
I'll piss in the house. I don't care. It's up to you. But I'm letting you know right now, if you don't open that door, you're going to get piss in your house.
Yeah, it's going to smell like piss because I'm going to piss in the exact same spot inside every time you don't let me out.
Every time. And I'm going to eventually wear through the varnish on your hardwood floor if I do it enough times.
I mean, so we're talking about serious levels of vandalism. My dog has eaten one time. Now, this was an attitude situation. I knew I was dealing with a real animal here. My dog's never chewed up anybody else's shit, really, except for one time this one kid I had living with me. I think he was an asshole to her and, like, fucked with her a lot or hit her or something when I wasn't around. Mm-hmm. Because one time he pissed her off, and when she came home, she ate his glasses.
See?
Not my shit. His.
That's what you get, though. You know what I mean? I'm in control. If I'm the dog, I'm in control. You leave something out, go ahead, fuck around. You can not be nice to me if you want. Leave your shit around. I'll chew it up. You'll get home and you'll find it in pieces on the floor.
I mean, they're known to ruin homework. Like, dogs don't give a fuck, man.
Well, that comes from the fact, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, but, you know, people that are serious and like dog obedience, dog behavior, people that study this will know that a dog eats your homework because it's pissed that it can't read. It knows. I mean, they're smart. They know, like, oh, this has words on it, and you write the words and you read the words, but you haven't taken the time to teach me how to read. So fuck you. I'll eat your words. Instead of making you eat your own words, I'll eat your words. And then I'll shit them out on the floor.
It's that simple. It's that simple. And I'm telling you, that's the whole deal. It's like, they're cute as fuck. They do what they want. Yeah, some of them want to show off. They do extra tricks. Next thing you know, they're on ESPN. They're running through tubes. They're jumping up and down off of teeter-totters. You know, whatever. Riding around, pushing shit around. You know, I get it. Some of them want to outshine others. There's some dogs that are the Brad Pitt of dogs. Some dogs are just the Todd and Sean of dogs.
Well, if you look at the dog species, I mean, you have the athlete dogs that compete in the obstacle courses, stuff like that. And then you have like your models, right? That they are the best of show dogs, like the Westminster Kennel thing that they have every year. Like those are your runway models of dogs.
Yeah. And guess what? They win. Even when you're winning, they become bigger winners at winning than winnings ever won at.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big dub.
It is a big dub. And I'm jealous of the life. Like I look here and I'm like, man, you guys don't have to pay a bill.
Yeah.
You don't have to do any work whatsoever. You just lay around and when you feel like you want to play, you put a ball in your mouth, you come to me and I throw it.
Yeah. How about this? I want some exercise. You're also going to help me.
Mm-hmm. Work on your arm.
You're also a personal trainer.
Yeah. You're my personal trainer. We are each of our dog's personal trainers.
I mean, and then the big ones are like, yeah, I'm going to cost $5,000 also. You dogs are free. I'm $5K. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad, same kind of dog. Her parents, same kind of dog. Guess what? There's a person considered their entire existence is just to make sure more of me come so they can get $5,000 for everybody that comes in my litter.
Yeah.
It's called a breeder.
I at this point, like I would willingly enter a 50-50 split with a dog if they would allow like champion level breeding. Like I would put 50% of those proceeds back into the dog. I'll put that dog on salary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they don't have pockets, so they can't really walk around or they can't use phones to buy their own shit. So I would buy it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll start you an Amazon wish list.
I'll just show
you on the screen and you can paw at the things that you want and I'll add them to your wish list. And you know, you have this much balance, so however much we make from selling your puppies, that's how much you get to spend every month. I mean, I think it's a win-win for both.
Yeah. Pup bucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, even the guys with the little jackets on, like this guy's like, hey, I'm here for a purpose. Without me, this guy has seizures.
I mean, we have police dogs. So we have the athletes, we have the runway model dogs, we have police dogs, we have firefighter dogs, the Dalmatians, the riding fire truck. I mean,
and they've had a lock on that position forever. They won't even allow other dogs
forever.
I dare a different dog to try to get on a fire truck that's not a Dalmatian.
Yeah, you'll fucking die in a fire.
Yeah,
right. Only away. Dalmatians are skilled in firefighting. Mm-hmm. And we have hunter dogs. They go retrieve the ducks or whatever, like your Labrador retrievers and whatnot. Yeah. They'll swim out and get the duck for you, bring it back. I mean,
sheep dogs. What about, we got dogs that run sheep and you have to talk like, you have to be speaking Latin.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, Schlecker! Or whatever. And then the dogs, like, they go low my buddy had this one of these dogs in South Carolina as a kid. His uncle would come over and we'd talk in Latin to these two dogs.
Right.
And they just ran a show keeping these sheep in check.
There's the Australian Shepherd, that dog who herds kangaroos.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how hard that is?
Ugh. They fight. They literally can fight you. They fight humans.
Yeah. They'll box your ears off and they'll kick your head off.
They'll lean back on that tail right now and kick your little doggy ass right in the face.
Like that fast.
Yeah.
Who's
corralling who here is basically what a kangaroo can say if it wanted to.
I mean, we couldn't herd kangaroos on our own.
I want to be honest. If they start to like mesh at a certain point in the next 100 years where they can take the genetics of a certain animal and just take the strength of it, like give me kangaroo legs and let me work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me get that tail. Let me get them legs. Like fuck a centaur, but instead of half horse, half kangaroo. Let me get around a little bit more nimbly. You know, let me lean on a tail. Like horse tails are useless. They just go, that's it.
Right.
Occasional fly, shoe a fly.
Mm-hmm. They're in every country has its own breed to hang its hat on, right? So you have the Irish setter, which is, you know, that belongs to Ireland, basically. The Irish setter is just, you know, that dog was bred to just sit and drink pints of beer and punch you in the face if you say something wrong or they get too drunk. And then let's see, who else is there? We already said the Australian Shepherd. There's the Russian hacker hound, which infiltrates our social media and influences voting here in the United States.
Let's not forget the corgi. That's just here to look cool as fuck and just kind of strut around and be like, yo, peep me, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's so many good dogs that just really shine. I mean, we haven't gotten to the big dogs. We haven't gotten to the fighters, even though we don't really want them to fight. And, you know, but again, plenty of humans have the right to or not, and they do, you know.
Right.
Maybe if there is a dog out there like a pit bull that actually enjoys combat, like Gladiator. You know?
Dogs like to fight. Certain breeds
now,
of dogs
again,
like
it's very
to fight.
Bad. We're not advocating it here.
No.
But we're just saying if we had the ability, if dogs can talk and they could answer us, I think there's going to be roughly the same percentage of dogs that enjoy fighting as humans that enjoy fighting.
Absolutely. I mean, every animal species, I think, has that at some level.
They don't ask them. They just make them. I wouldn't be able to agree with it until I can hear the dog be like, no, this is my thing.
Exactly.
And then I'll be like, okay, sign all these proper waivers and all that. You know, you're under contract now with the DFC.
Yeah, you have to a dog shouldn't be fighting unless it can audibly, like, unless it can sign a waiver. You know, when it gets to the point where, like, where it can sign a waiver and agree to, you know, negotiate the purse and all that stuff, then okay, dogs can fight. But until then, like, I don't know if that dog is in for this or not. I don't know if it's trying to fight or if it's just defending itself.
Yeah. And that's the problem right now. That's, you know, you have to give these dogs the freedom to actually, it's pro-choice. It's their choice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're still quite some time away from that. So we're not really going to understand for quite a while unless they start doing the genetic splicing where they can, like, give them the ability to talk, which, I mean, that's got to be right around the corner, right? I mean, that's got to be within the next 100 to 200.
I don't know why we can't engineer voice boxes for them yet, like electronic ones.
Why? Yeah, why can we not? We know they can understand us. Hey, buddy, sit. Good job. Shake. Good job. I mean, communication is happening. We got them running into burning buildings. We got them fucking saving people from cardiac arrest on planes. You know what I mean? We got chihuahuas out here holding it down.
We have dogs that can understand multiple languages. Have you ever seen the police dogs? I mean, they speak German, a lot of them Dutch. Like, I've been nine, and then fucking boom, it's on you, you know? And then I always wonder, too, like, if I had the life of a dog, what vocation would I choose? And I'm kind of thinking, I might go show dog. I mean, man, those people really put a lot. But then I'm like, oh, is my owner going to be like one of those pageant moms, like the little kid pageant shows? I mean, those moms, a bunch of Karens, dude. Karens with money.
Yeah. Best in show. I will say this, and I don't want to overlook this dog because he's a good-ass dog. I mean, it's a dog. It's a staple of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dog that wasn't always planned. The mutt. I mean, let's not disrespect the good old mutt.
I like
the mutt. What is he? No idea. He's a good guy, though. Mm-hmm. Don't know where he came from. Don't know what kind of breed he is. His mother, father, no idea. But guess what? He's a good damn boy. He's a good boy.
You know, that's where I think we're different from the dog, because there are purebred dogs. There's no, like, purebred humans anymore, right? Like I'm a mixture of Irish and Scottish, and, you know, so I have different nationalities.
Are those two countries border? Do they border each other?
They do, I think.
So, I mean, even technically,
you can throw a baseball. You can throw a baseball from one to the other. There's a lot. There's a lot of like people that will do that. There's a lot of Scotsmen that will play catch with Irishmen across the border back and forth. But yeah, I don't know. And then you people have different, like you're Mexican and non-Hispanic mix.
I wonder how far away the village, the genetic, like if you ran back your dad's bloodline, you ran back your mom's bloodline, one Scottish, one Irish. I wonder how, like, technically, even before the borders were busted out and they were calling themselves such, I wonder how far away they lived. Were they like 40 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles?
Probably with, I mean, easily within 50 miles, I think.
Think so?
And I have like rich Scottish and Irish blood. Like my dad is a descendant of William Wallace.
Yeah.
And
well, he has the sword at your house. And I was like, what's this? And you're still, like, yeah, it's been passed down for more generations than we'd like to admit, but it's William Wallace's sword. And I was blown away.
Yeah. His dad still had his testicles that they removed when they were torturing him.
Yeah.
Had those in a jar for a long time.
A pickle, like a pickled jar, right? Looks like that.
Yeah. And then he lost them one day after he got dementia. So, but then, and on the Irish side, you know, my mom is a descendant of
the guy from Lucky Charms, from what I understand, right?
The leprechaun from Lucky Charms. I was trying to remember his real name, and I can't remember it. My mom's got it somewhere.
Hey, Lucky.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that. That's wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
that is a bloodline, my friend. I mean, we're talking about a next level corporation, you know, inside of General Mills, I assume, which probably bought your family's the rights to the Lucky Charm cereal, probably for well into the 10, 11 figures.
Well, it should have been, but my great, 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 great grandfather, Leprechaun.
McComas, Leprechaun McComas?
Yeah, he sold it for two sixers of Guinness. Which is
a raw deal.
It's an Irish problem, you know. He was thirsty.
Again, you know, when you're thirsty, I mean, what at what cost do I have to quench my thirst? It depends on how thirsty. Sometimes it's a multi-billion dollar possibility there, and that's what happened. But again, you know, either way, the shit's being stolen. You know what I mean? Someone's always getting after his Lucky Charms.
Always taking advantage of the Irish. So have you done any, I found that out through, you know, 23andMe, obviously, but also my family keeps track of their lineage. But
did you know there's a new website?
What is it?
It's so you can search other people's shit. It's called 22andYou. It's not 100% guaranteed, but it is nice. There. Yeah.
That's nice. Have you ever researched your lineage to see where your people come from, like deep into your bloodline?
Well, I do know that I am directly related to the guy from Apocalypto. Like that was my people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The movie
yeah.
Apocalypto, that's basically my great-great-great-great-great-great grandparents.
And the guy that escaped and they chased the jungle for a long time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he hit his family. That's my great-great-uncle. He hit his family in that cave.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and nice. Then he obviously cleared house on those other guys that were pretty badass warriors.
Is that on the Latham side or the other side?
That's on the Guerrero side. Obviously, my dad's family's last name, Guerrero, which if you don't know that means warrior.
South American.
Guira is war. Guerrero is warrior. And that's what I am. And that's why I continue to fight to this day, Todd.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
To do the right thing. To be who I am, who I want to be, who I need to be.
Absolutely. Now, is Latham, is that German... Latham, I feel like maybe that's English. Well,
Latham is my brother's dad's last name. That's where things get a little hell. It gets a little.
Oh, so that's
hectic.
Not blood. That's not blood.
No, that was my mom didn't know she's pregnant. This shit didn't work out. My dad, obviously, he hit it and quit it. And then my mom had met my brother's dad. And then next thing you know, they found out after they were dating that she was pregnant.
Gotcha.
But he did the right thing and gave me his last name. And then he had my mom had my brother.
Now, what's your mom's maiden name?
Schultz.
Oh, that's German.
Yeah, German, and also there's some Polish in there, which would explain that the more of the smarter part of me.
Right, the intellectual side.
Yes, the books me. The book, you know, nose in the books. Mm-hmm. You know, that the studying, the hours of R&D, which if you're not in the know, that's research and development.
Right, and it we know from history, the Schultzes in Germany, big anti-Nazi. They were on the right side of things. Huge anti-Nazi family. Mm-hmm. So that's
Schultz
good.
Side. And my grandma, well, my grandfather's side is Schultz. My grandmother, Donna, Italian.
Ooh,
that's where they met. They were a couple, you know, their grandparents came to America as immigrants. My grandmother being of Italian descent, my grandfather on my, this is on my mom's side. My grandfather's family being Schultz of German Polish descent.
So you're 25% Italian, 25%
Germanish
in that area.
Mm-hmm.
25%, what do you say, Latin, and then the other 25%. What? So on your dad's side.
My dad's side is straight up Mexicano.
Okay.
But so they didn't, only a few people speak Spanish. So we're like white as fuck, no Spanish speaking Mexicans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that happens. I mean, it's been over here for a while.
Of all the bullshit, I do have a very famous uncle named Lalo Guerrero. He was considered the godfather of Chicano music. That's true.
What?
Yeah, if you look him up, I can play a bunch of his tracks. He got a medal from President Clinton. He has a street in Tucson. This is my grandfather on my father's side. My grandfather's
brother.
My grandfather's brother. Yes,
your
my
grandfather's uncle.
My dad's dad's uncle.
Oh, so your great great uncle.
My great great uncle Lalo Guerrero. He lived into his 90s. He got an award from the White House from President Clinton. He was Spanish voiceover for the Chipmunks and shit too in the 80s.
What?
He basically was one of the artists in the front out front of the Zoot Suit era of East LA.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is amazing.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually true. He like you could pull up his shit right now.
The Spanish speaking voiceover for the chip. Do you know which chipmunk he was?
I'm not exactly sure of that. I found that out late. I went to one of the wildest moments of my life. You know, I grew up with my family, mostly white, you know, my grandparents, everybody was white on that side, you know, for the most part, except then a little dark skinned me came popping out.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother's chubbier, he's slower, but he was, you know, he's more music. I was sports.
Oh, nice.
You know, he played a bunch of shit. But growing up, I had this white family, basically. And, you know, that's what it was. And then I found out that I had, before I moved back to Arizona from South Carolina, that I had different father than my brother. So when I got back, you know, it was always that thing in the back of my mind of meeting him. You know, it's like you got no choice when you find out when you're 15 about you have a different dad you never met.
Right.
Or that you don't remember meeting because you were two.
Yeah. You're like, I got to go meet this dude now.
Yeah. So I finally did. And I remember when I was 18, I met him, but I went to a family reunion. When I met my dad, I'm like, okay, that's definitely looks like me, like where I came from, you know? But then I went to a family reunion and it was almost mind blowing because I walked into a room of about 65 people that were just like me. Yeah. Hair, color, like personality, the drinking, the hanging out, the fucking, I'm like, this is all, but I was like, it was like, what the fuck? Like, whoa, it's all me in here. Everybody's even the women, like everybody's a version of me.
Finally.
It was wild.
That would be wild.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a different moment. I mean, cool. It was cool to see it, but it, you know, at the same time, it's not like I hang out with any of them. I talk to my brother and sister. That's it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I found out as I got older. I already knew I had a brother and a sister. Then I found out when I was like 32, I had another sister.
Oh, really?
She lives in Kentucky and owns a vegan restaurant with her white husband.
What?
Yeah.
A vegan. See, that runs in the family, the cooking.
Yeah, a little bit. My brother's he's been working at FedEx since he was like 15. He's probably like 37 or 38 now. So he's making dough there.
Wow.
That's a job that pays, bro. When you're the more senior and the more shit you got going on.
Yeah, when you've been at FedEx for a while, you're doing well in life.
Yeah. Driving around that. But I tell you right now, Christmas time, your wife wants to fucking drive that truck right off a cliff.
Carrying all those heavy ass packages in the snow,
18-hour days and shit.
Come on,
yeah. And my, you know, and Lalo Guerrero's son, Danny Guerrero, is my uncle. He was a Broadway, so he was like a Broadway big deal on Broadway for a long time.
Really,
I did the Latino Comedy Festival in 2007 in LA. I was all pumped up. I got selected. I was ready to rock. And he was part of it. And he was part. And I, you know, I had a little bit of a conversation with him, but then I emailed him one time about doing something together and, you know, at least just going to lunch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he just ignored the fuck out of me. And I just told him to fuck off. And I never emailed him since.
He big timed you.
Yeah, he big timed me. Like, you ain't shit, bro. even though you have an awesome, you know, you have an awesome resume and what you've done, still it can't be. You big time, homie.
Right.
I'm your nephew. I ain't your fucking fan.
Yeah, that's a fucking dick move.
But that's how it always worked out. So that's why I never really got involved over there.
Jeez.
A few things here and there. And you know what? The lazy eye running rampant on that side.
Really?
100%. My grandpa, two uncles. Yep.
I didn't know it was genetic.
Yeah, it's genetic as fuck. Actually, a lot of people just think it was from a donkey accident as a baby, but I never.
A donkey accident?
Yeah, but it's not. It wasn't. I didn't get kicked by a donkey or anything.
It's like the cartoons. Your eyes spin around. And this one goes back to where it started, and the other gets stuck almost there.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I did the Johnny Drinks. We did some content together this week. That was awesome. On last week.
Nice.
If you don't know Johnny Drinks, they got about 1 million followers on TikTok. They just got a cool page. It's this kid John Rondi and his dad Johnny. Makes drinks. They talk shit. They have a cool thing going. They hit hard on TikTok.
Yeah.
And so we went to, I went down there, filmed a bunch of stuff with them, a few episodes of my stuff, some episodes of their stuff. It's pretty awesome. Just meeting, trying to, you know, get out here and meet some new fools.
Oh, yeah. So when they, is it comparable to what you do with cooking, except they're doing it with drinks?
It's different because of their interactions for him from behind the camera type thing, you know, and his dad. Yeah. I mean, there's some similarities, but for the most part, it's their own, you know, like, obviously, there is always going to be if you're making a food or a drink for content.
Yeah.
But they got a really good thing going on over there. We had a really good time. I left my house at 5 a.m., took my butcher block and my new flat top grill, which, by the way, I got the meeting. I'm now in the Facebook group for flat top grill owners. I didn't even know it was a thing. I just got the invite. Once it's like the world of flat topness, mm-hmm. flat top griddle, knew the purchase came through, saw the credit card swipe at Home Depot. Gave me the invite to the Facebook group. Now I can see what you were talking about because I didn't know what you meant because you're on the group and I'm not in the flat top griddle group.
Oh, yeah. Dude, how much do you enjoy cooking on that thing? It's so much fun. You feel like a hibachi guy.
I want to get one of those little circle ticket holders above my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get a counter in front of me and I want to see it. I want to be like, I want to throw a slam of plate up on my window, grab a ticket off the spin thing, throw it on there and be like, 7, order up table 7, and then spin the little buddy for the next ticket. Like, that's what it makes me want to do.
Dude, it's got me feeling like I work at Waffle House. I mean, I
love it.
I want to get some homemade shitty like neck tattoos, you know, and just sit back there and just flip burgers and flapjacks on that thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm going to have to lose a few of my teeth on just one side of my mouth
mm-hmm.
and then never clean my fingernails.
Just get a black cap. Get one of them black caps they have in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? If you want to commit, fucking get rid of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can commit. You can knock your own teeth out. Do something fun with a hammer.
Jim Carrey did it for Dumb and Dumber.
He did not.
Yeah, he chipped his own tooth.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a commitment.
It is a commitment.
Because I've got a front chip tooth, and every so often it'll just fucking, the chip comes off. Unless you're very careful, like you got to get a few replacements before you just decide that from here on out, I have to cut pieces of apple.
I would guess with Jim Carrey money, he did a full like porcelain whatever thing, you know, over it or cap or whatever.
Which I got that too. And that means you got to take the whole tooth out and only leave like that socket bone part.
Yeah, and then they drill it in there.
Yeah, and then they put mm-hmm. their parts in. They have to match it up. So, but the tooth, though, I have one that has a chip that's a real tooth with a fake corner, and then I have another one that's completely fake.
Ah. I mean, I would do that, like, instead of dentures. I would have them put a whole new fake teeth in there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
you? I don't know. They have to do molars and shit, too. That's a bridge.
Is it?
I always wondered if people who work at dentists, when they're like dentist office, when they're out and about and they see people with fucked up teeth, and are they like, yo, Mark, check out this dude's 36. Cause peep this kid right here. And his number 12, bro, this guy's got a jacked up 12, 13.
Dental hygienists are like that. Like female dental hygienists, very picky about their dude's teeth, man.
Yeah. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they work in the industry.
You know, that might ruin mouths for me.
Right?
I don't want it to ruin mouths. Like, you know, I don't know if I want to ruin the mouth. I don't want to know. I mean, listen, I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that they do what they do.
Yeah.
But the last thing I want to know is what's really going on in people's mouths, knowing how busted up they are and how much they stink. Like, but, I know my mouth stinks a lot. I get it.
It would ruin mouth. That's why I was going to become a boob doctor. Yeah. I was going to be a plastic surgeon.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I was like, oh, I just don't want to ruin boobs for me. You know, like you work at a pizza place, you get tired of pizza, that kind of thing.
You're like how often you eating pepperoni? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to get
tired
of boobs.
Same case here.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, too.
That's the one. Because
then, you know, next thing you know, you're touching them and you're like, well, we could touch these up a couple of sizes, you know, for $9,000. I got your back. Now you're insulting people, but it's not your fault. It's because it's your world. It's what you know.
Plus, I've been filling boobs all day, 8 hours a day, 8 hour shift. I've been playing with boobs. I don't like take your boobs somewhere else. I don't want to get to that level. You know,
was it James's lady who told us they do cock extensions or something? They're doing something with dicks now. You can like make them bigger or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause we talked about it one day about how, cause James's lady, Megan,
mm-hmm.
she at the doctor's office, she's at, occasionally they do these cosmetic cock enlargements.
Huh?
So she's over there playing with cocks, you know, but throughout the day, like sometimes.
Right.
And we were kidding around one day. We were all hanging out, drinking, talking about, oh, she's like, oh, yeah. I don't remember how it worked. Wasn't it her and Marnie?
Probably. You're right. Because Marnie was talking about the pumps you can put in.
Yeah.
And then you like squeeze.
Yeah, the cock. No, it was the cock pump. That's what it was.
Yeah, because they look like fake balls in there. You just squeeze the balls in it.
Yeah.
It's like... And it pumps up the penis. And
that was what it was. It was the penis pumps.
For people that like can't get it up anymore, even with medicine, they get those. And that's what they were talking about. But you can, I'm positive.
Just think about that.
You can get penis extension.
Just think about, can you imagine if every time shit's going your way, you had to like, you got to put the music on right as you pretend to like take off your underwear, but you're just blowing up your penis.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You gotta you gotta turn that song up. Maybe like turn over or something. Like I'm gonna kiss your back. Meanwhile, you're just like you're trying to pump your dick up real quick.
Oh yeah,
that's wild, bro.
Yeah.
I would definitely put on a good song. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
Like you're gonna want to have especially a song that won't come down. As far as when you're, you know, like during the pump, because what if the song goes quiet right when you start to pump?
I want to put a little power, like a plug there, like you can get the extra large, extension so that I plug it in like a air mattress into the wall.
Yeah.
And get that. It just fills up like an air mattress.
I like that. You're going to go with the pump, like the air mattress pump.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would play right there. When I'm fucking pumping on my penis, get ready for some hot shit. And then my lady, that's what your lady's like that. Oh my god, bro. Pump it up a little more. You want to pump it up a little more. You know what I mean?
Could they run just the air hose line, just a longer one, like inside your leg down to your feet? And so that way it's like when you pump up your shoes, but you're pumping up your penis. You just that way it's not so obvious I'm squeezing my balls to pump it up.
Do you think the guy that invented this penis pumper was the dude that might have been involved in initial draw-ups and mock-ups of the Reebok pump when it first came out? I would say roughly in 1985.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember I was in fifth grade.
It's going to be the same technology.
It was probably in 91 or 90 when the Reebok pump came loose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then somebody was like, oh, wait a minute. What if we did that for dicks?
Yeah.
For people who can't get hard anymore. And it was, I mean, genius. Why if it could be just like, you know how you can hold your breath and like you're blowing out, but you hold it in. What if that inflated your penis? The air just went down. You know what I mean?
Because cartoons have been doing it for years.
Yeah. Like when they blow on their thumb and their hand gets real big.
Yep. Or when they blow and the smoke would come out their ears.
Yes.
Like, that's what we need, being able to focus where the breath goes in the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a next level technological advancement when we could control by closing ears and mouth to where we want that breath to be. Do I want it coming out my ass? Do I want it coming out of my ears? Mm-hmm. Do I want that air to just go right to my penis when it comes time for maybe a little bit of intercourse?
Maybe the pump in my armpit. So I just got to.
Oh, yeah.
you know, with the wing, I just pump my arm like you do when you make the fake fart.
Sound. Yeah. Old school, man. Remember when you first figured that out? What a move.
Yeah.
The first
God,
time.
It was hilarious.
And then you were just running around, just rattling off fart noises under that arm.
I mean, that was my closer.
Was it, what do we equate that school. To? What do women, what do they have that you think
queefs.
Would equate to us with the moment we figured out we can finally make a fart noise with our palm and our armpits?
I mean, when they find out that they can queef, that has to be a big moment. Slumber parties, you know what I mean? Just the, oh, the front fart. I mean, you know that was a banger. You know that you were the coolest girl at the slumber party when you were the first one to figure out.
I would like to know if they used, like, when they're all having slumber parties and everybody goes to bed, right? And then the lights are off, but everybody's still awake, you know, that little giggly time when you're having sleepovers and shit.
Right.
I wonder if did girls do what guys do, but with that part instead of the butt?
I think,
like, so. You know, we might do like a, you know, do the noise. You always got the.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you had obviously the armpit, and then you had real farts as well.
Yeah,
doing that noise really tickles your top of your lip.
It does. I think they were there to just queefing a lot, you know what I mean, before their makeout sessions, because every girl's slumber party, obviously they make out with each other. But yeah, the queef was
I wonder
big
if
one.
They can just do it for fun and make each other laugh when they're all going to sleep.
I want
to slumber.
You got to trap air up in there somehow, right? Do you Kegel or something to trap the air? I don't know how it works.
Do you think that there was an actual professional contest of that noise? Do you think that there would be like a certain tool, some sort of plunger that you could cover up the vagina and then just go hit it with a couple of plunges to get the air built up in there?
I bet you could. That's, I mean, that's
rattle off some notes.
Sometimes, and of course the female listeners will know this, but you know, sometimes when they get, like a tampon stuck up there too far or whatever. I mean, yeah. Not a tampon. Yeah. Is it a tampon? What's the hard thing?
Yeah. Yeah. An applicator there.
When that gets stuck up there too far, they use a plunger, a lot of them, to get it out. They just.
That's nice. Yeah. I will say this. I have seen a guy use that, one of those applicators from a tampon to stop the blood flow on a bullet shot, on a bullet wound.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Sweet.
Drop it right in there. Pull out the plastic applicator. Whammo. We're talking about an actual perfect tool to fucking help a bullet wound stop bleeding.
Come on. my girlfriend is in the next room working, and she just said, oh, my God, what's that thing? A tampon? I don't know. I don't know the things. I know,
because I know they got those, the ones with the wings, and you got the pads with the maxis and the ones
maxi pads. That's the one I was thinking of.
It's that's like, the one that comes in and it's that's with the wings.
Yeah,
it flies wings. Off and on.
Yeah, you can.
It's like a drone. It's like a drone.
You if you can queef hard enough and you have one of those, in, it will take flight. You just
it'll send like a carrier pigeon.
And it'll fly, yeah, across
that's,
the room.
That's how women in jail used to send notes to each other. They figured it out. They were writing notes on them, and then they would go, queefs, and then, fucking, here comes a note. C, cell block C, kid.
Like little maxi pad carrier pigeons.
Yeah. That's when they got wings. You get they were ahead of the game.
Give me a Sharpie. I'll write my message on there and then down the cell block to the other inmates.
Sometimes I wonder, does it just supposed to mold to, like, if you have like a larger labia?
I think
if you got the lips out there just flapping away like on a windy day, does the wing just mold to that part and then they flap together almost like a wingsuit casing?
It's a great question, because I don't know why they come with wings, what those do, but if you did have extra large labia, it has to help hold the wings in place, I would think.
Maybe it's like a Velcro style material that sticks nicely.
Right.
You know, to really to clog it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a wild little thing, something we just never know about, because I've never been I'm sure there might be really weird couples out there where the guy just like goes in like a doctor to figure it out, which I would never in a million years do.
Right.
But I mean, just the disconnect of us knowing exactly what the hell is going on there and never even putting the thought process into the whole operation. Mm-hmm. Until I saw the guy clog up the bullet hole with one, I was like, oh, that's what's going on.
I didn't know. No, we used to use like the maxi pad things where you tear the cloth part out of the applicator. We used to stick those in our nose to stop bloody noses in wrestling.
Oh, really?
Because they can hold a lot of blood.
A little nosebleed's a rookie ass move for that type of shit.
Yeah, you just
like that's a light day.
You can bleed all day in that thing.
Nice, and it just opens up and widens up in there.
Mm-hmm. Eventually it'll fill up. But you think women wear that all? You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You go full work day.
Tell you what, I'm glad I'm not a chick, bro. They got to go through a lot of stuff.
There are times where I do wish that I had a menstrual cycle, mm-hmm. like, because I think like I could stop using my calendar app then, you know what I mean? I'd be like, oh shit, I'm starting to bleed. And I'd be like, oh shit, rinse due. Like it would keep
me,
you know what I mean? Like, cause it's regular.
I'm going to be honest. Again, this is just us laying it out on the line to help those that don't know things, help them know some a little more.
Yeah, because, you know, let's face it, the majority of our listeners are guys. We have great, great gals that listen mm-hmm. as well, and they'll know all this stuff. We're just here to educate the male listeners so if they mm-hmm. understand you ladies better. And, you know, another advantage to having a menstrual cycle.
Uh-huh.
Is that, and you guys can Google this, it's true. When you're on your period, wolves are afraid of you. So,
yeah.
Because you smell like you just killed something with your vagina. And that's terrifying for wolves. They will run in the other direction.
Yeah, yeah. They want they like the thrill of the hunt. They're not killing mm-hmm. something that's dead already.
At first, they're like, I smell blood. And they start to circle as a pack. And then they see it, and they're like, oh, wait a minute. That person killed something.
You know, and the fact that
their vagina.
They get a cycle. Like, you get the menstrual, I'll get the motor. You know what I mean? We mm-hmm. all have a cycle in this relationship.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice. It's a good balance, too. You get the menstrual cycle, I'll get the motorcycle. You know, absolutely. Like, let me ride fast, too. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Let me go for a little whirlwind.
Think about this. Like back in the day, in the olden times, it was very useful to have a period because if like you got lost in the woods,
mm-hmm.
you had a built-in way to leave a trail behind for others to follow you.
Yeah.
You would like never get lost in the woods. You could just retrace the blood spots and to find your way. Oh, that's how I came into the woods. And then follow it backward.
Yeah, and you know, again, this is you're welcome, guys. You know, if you guys want to take a quick break, maybe head over to our YouTube and subscribe. Go ahead, because this is we don't want to give you too much at once. That's like telling the waiter to carry 5 tables worth of food out. Listen, he's probably gonna drop a bunch on the way out. Only 1 or 2 tables gonna get their food.
Yeah,
we want you to be able to take all this in. You know what I mean? Gather it all.
It's educational, guys. It's not just about the fun. Mm-mm. We're here to teach. You're here to learn.
Well, hey, I wish we could do sound effects because I would do a school bell right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd say class is in session, homies. You know what I mean?
Is there any better way, a cooler way, for a woman to communicate to you that it's that time of the month than by saying, oh, no, sorry, it's Shark Week? Like, I dated a girl who would say that. You know, some say, like, oh, Aunt Flo came to visit or whatever, and that's like, oh, no, don't say that. That, you know, that's weird.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, she would just say, sorry, it's Shark Week, and I would fucking laugh my ass off every time.
Hilarious.
There's blood in the water.
Nothing
that
I can...
It's not me saying that. A woman said that about her own...
situation.
Yeah.
You know what I... This fucking cat wants to go outside, but
I can hear it.
This motherfucker won't shut up till we let him out. But yeah, that's I can't. Nobody that I can remember ever had a better one than that. That's for sure. Because I would remember even close, not even close.
Oh man, she's got the flu. Some girl I've had girls say, "I'm sorry, she's got the flu."
Oh damn. Yeah, I got that. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like it's like your vagina's sick, which kind of, yeah, accurate. I don't know. We don't have, like, do we have anything comparable to that at all?
No.
Nothing, right?
Friends in town, you know, my friends in town next week, or my friends in town. I've heard that's maybe one.
Yeah.
My buddy Richie Cunningham is here. That was a good one.
I've never heard that one before.
Hey, if you're coming over later tonight, it's, Carrot Top's going to stop by.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, shit.
We don't have anything with our bodies to compare to that. Like, nothing. How do our bodies clean themselves? I mean, I think a menstrual cycle, the purpose of it is to clean the plumbing, if you will, for them so that they, you know, stay fertile, which was...
I wish I wasn't so terrified of going to an asshole doctor.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go get cleaned it out. I want to go get in there clean. I wish someone would send a whole team in there and just, you know, with the full suits on, you know, the full hazmat suit.
Oh. And
the power washer, bro.
I thought you meant just a doctor who's not a nice guy.
No. No, no, like the doctor of buttholes, the colonoscopy. Oh, okay. I want to get in there, get the colonoscopy, but I want them to like just really get some hard hats on, some headlamps. You know what I mean? Take some power wash in there, a couple of scrub brushes.
I know.
I wonder how much pounds I would lose from my fat, gross gut of taco meat and fucking and shrimp and rice and noodles and cake, bro, and candy bars.
Dude, you don't do enema? You don't give yourself enemas?
What is that? What, can you give me a rundown of how it works so maybe I can at least start trying?
You get those little bladder bags or whatever, and there's a hose at the other end. You fill that with water, and then you stick that tube up your ass, and you squeeze that in there, and it flushes out all the stuff in there that's caught.
Are you laying on your back while you do this, and like kind of like a baby would get his diaper changed with his legs up, like that type of shit, and you just feed the hose in yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just lube it up on the end and you insert it in there deep enough that it won't pull out from the water pressure. And you can hang on to the hose too with other things. I mean, I do. I probably give myself an enema every Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So
after the podcast drops usually.
Yeah. Right after the podcast drops, I just clean it out. And, I mean, it's refreshing. People do a coffee enema.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know it's like a rush of caffeine because it goes right through the anal walls.
Yeah. What if I just chew on some coffee beans? Would that help?
It could. I don't know if it's as good. Because, you know, the drunk enema, too. People put alcohol up their butt like that.
Yeah.
And they get drunk really fast.
Yeah, I took a couple of shots in the ass, a couple times of vodka one time at a bar in Milwaukee. Yeah. Shit got hot. It's pretty wild walking around a bar with no underwear on and no pants and just shoes talking about, have you guys seen a pair of Volcom shorts?
Yeah.
You know, it's like these things they get. Listen, 5 cent U college gets buck wild sometimes. You know, you find yourself in wild situations in a college town. Forget about it.
I mean, there's times where you're down to your last beer and you don't want to make a run. You know, you just put it in the enema bag and shoot it in there. And it's like you had 12 of them.
I would like to, I mean, I really, really, maybe I'll do the cleanse with the lemon and the fucking, and the cayenne pepper.
Up your butthole?
Well, I mean, I assume if you put it in your mouth, it's the same thing, right? I mean, they put it in your asshole, except it just takes a little bit longer to get there. It's like taking the long route on Apple Maps.
As long as you don't have any like little microscopic tears in there. Because lemon juice and cayenne pepper, fuck, if it hits like an open wound in your butt. And I would imagine.
How bad do you want it?
That's true. Grin and bear it.
You know what I mean? Because I guarantee you, I got about 6 to 10 pounds of just bullshit floating in my stomach. And that's what's holding me from dunking.
I'll tell you this.
I would go to the hoop and I'd be going to the hoop hard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I passed the cinnamon challenge with my butt. I put a spoonful of cinnamon in there.
Yeah,
I didn't throw.
That was weird. There was a little bit of time where every time I go to your bathroom, it smelled like I was taking a shit at Cinnabon.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, your shit smells delicious.
Didn't they give you a couple of free aprons?
Oh yeah,
that's nice of them.
I still got them.
Yeah,
they're hanging in the bathroom.
It's like a robe, but it's for when you put cinnamon up your asshole.
Yes.
And then you smell like a cinnamon bun. A Cinnabon.
If you're into enemas, you could do all kinds of cool things with your butt as far as that goes. You could do a potpourri one. You know?
I wish I could open up my horizons to more butt activities like that. I don't know what it is.
Just in general, right?
I can't get past the hump, if you will.
No. I'm like, I just don't want anything to go in there. But, yeah. You know, if you practice and you work at it, you can
just kind of just get it like it's easier, no big deal. You know, then one day you got a guy with a headlamp up there, you know, just cleaning out, just really getting a good shine going on in there.
Yeah.
I wonder how many cheeseburgers from McDonald's I have over the years just lumped in there on like, you know, like I always think about my asshole as like an alley, you know, like, you know, so, you know, there's some dumpsters, but also there's plenty of bags of trash on the outside of the dumpster.
Right.
So the dumpster part does get emptied.
Mm-hmm.
But what about all that extra stuff just hanging out, like the pallets and all that, you know, and the cardboard and the, you know, just the bags, is all the bags of trash that in stunt movies when people jump down, they land in.
Right. And it's like you ever go like, oh, I haven't shit in 2 or 3 days. That's the same as if the trash truck doesn't come on its regular schedule to empty the dumpster. Eventually it gets overflown and it falls out on the ground.
And then some homeless dudes pissing on it. You know what I mean? Yes,
and that's happening inside all of our assholes, I think. And we're not doing anything about it.
It's just like, what's your alley look like? Is it a 1971 New York alley? You know, is it an alley like in Hong Kong or like in Japan in the gay district? You know what I mean? You have to ask yourself, what's your alley look like?
You don't want to hang out in my alley at
all. That's a bad alley, man. I don't trust your alley.
You will get stabbed in my alley.
You get hurt in your alley.
Yeah. I mean, there's unsavory characters in there that's waiting for you to walk up my alley.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get fucking hit in the head with a lead pipe and your wallet's going to get stolen.
I bet you there's at least 3 or 4 people in your alley that are wearing like winter gloves, but with the fingers cut off.
Oh, yeah. At least that many. At least
several of them dudes in there with the black fingertips.
There's dudes breakdancing on cardboard still because, you know, my alley is still thinks it's 1984.
Uh huh.
But, you know, so there's fun. There's fun in there, but it's dangerous. Enter at your own risk, I guess.
Yeah. A little back alley action.
Mm hmm. There's dudes rolling dice.
I wonder how many times you ever heard anybody ever overheard a couple of dudes that were inconspicuously homosexual, and one said, "You want to go to the back alley?" And the other guy said, "Yeah, I'll meet you there." And then what we didn't know is that that was code to them, but they were going to have some sex.
Right.
But to us, we thought they were just actually going to go to the alley and hang out, maybe smoke a cigarette or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about normal guy stuff, not plow each other, actually in their back alleys.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
Now, I also have a question. This is for our gay listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the bottom, right? Let's say you're the power bottom.
Right.
But don't you also want to bust off too? Do you just circle back around? Is it just like leapfrog? You know, is it like it's my turn now? And then the other dude, and then you just switch off, or are you catching a reach around? Like, how does that work?
If it's a good relationship, it does. If it's not, and it's too one-sided, like what remember what Liberace was to Matt Damon?
Uh-huh.
And like he was only a receiver. He could never get Liberace, wouldn't let him return the favor. So
that's selfish.
Selfish lover, Liberace was.
I'm not sure you could. Can you even now again? I know we're flirting in some, you know, some delicate territory, but I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Do people who do take it, like do homosexuals that do allow to be the bottom, do they, I wonder if they look down on the fools that say they're gay, but they don't let anybody in the back door.
Oh,
we should get, I'm going to get my guy Ty Rivera on the show and we're going to fucking get down to the bottom of this.
We should. Cause I tell you
figuratively and literally,
I mean, I'm interested because my documentary deals a lot with the gay community in the late 70s and through the 80s and early 90s. And I'm fascinated by studying it. And of course, they didn't have a good time back then. They had to kind of keep their shit secret. But their community was so fucking fun. And it's always that way. Like, right? Yeah. You hang out with your gay friends. They're just fucking such a good ass time. Because
getting loose
when you've had to find like go through what you had to go through for like gay people, like close to your age or even older to my age, like they had to deal with some shit. So by the time they're at peace with who they are and whatever, they've gone through some shit and they are comfortable and they fucking let loose. It's a good ass fucking time.
It's, I mean, I'm very jealous of it.
I know
that level of freedom is fucking awesome.
Why are, like, in particular gay dudes, I'm so jealous because they're so fucking good with money. Every one of my fucking gay friends has so much. And, like, even my cop friends that are gay, like, they didn't make any more money than I did, but yeah, they're like rich. Like, how do you take care of that amount of money and you end up rich by the time you retire? What the fuck?
Yeah, man, I don't know. That's pretty wild. I mean,
just have their,
I would see, I would hope that some of them just have a really good sugar daddy, you know what I mean? That's one of my early assumptions. Like, obviously there's probably 10 to 30 different reasons why, and they're probably much better than this one. This is probably the easy fucking low-hanging fruit. But
they all were disciplined enough to put money in their 401k, like a certain percentage of their check and all that. They're just, I don't know, they're just better people than me, because I fucking, like, oh, that's how much is in my check. Oh, look how much I can spend this month.
I'm going to get, there's not many people that I'm friends with, plenty of homosexual people, but not many as open and seriously direct as Ty Rivera. One of my favorite jokes was talking about him fucking a dude in a bush.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's the most hardcore, hilarious, but legitimately happening, regular everyday fools.
I fucked a girl in a bush.
You did?
I fuck every girl in a bush.
If you can, you're talking about, that's like a thing. You have like a wilderness thing where you have to get the bush checked off.
No, I just mean if you're not wanting to shave.
Oh, you mean if they have a bush?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
When I was a little boy, I thought that sex was just where you rub the penis on the bush. I thought it was just like a friction thing. Like, you just, well, that's all. I didn't see what was down there because the bush hit it.
Yeah. I had no idea what was going on down there. I mean,
I don't know. I still barely know.
I would look at naked mannequins.
I know it's kind of like an Atari controller. You know what I mean? There's that one button you want to push a lot.
Right. Yeah.
But otherwise, like, as a kid, I thought you just did they just rolled up against the hair or the bush.
I had no idea.
I thought it was like friction, like it started the fire down there. That's why it was always hot.
I mean, I'm so old that, you know, back in the day, when I was a kid, I would have to look at the lingerie section of, like, my grandma's Sears catalog for it. But I swear to God, back then, dude, they would show, you could see bush through the lacy panties. Like, Sears was very risky. Well,
the top of the panty wouldn't even touch the belly because it was off the ground. It was like this layer of turf.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys ran better 40 yard dashes in them bushes too.
I'm going to bring the bush back. I'm going to start a petition that they bring the bush back. I want
at the NFL combine, we can get better numbers.
Mm-hmm. I want the bush back. I want the girls to start growing hair on their vagina again.
You know, listen, it's, I don't, if I'm a girl, I'm down with it. You know, I'd be down with it. It's less maintenance. That's the thing about women. They have so much maintenance.
They're so cool about us having beards. Like, every dude has a beard now that can grow one.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, we should return.
Lazy.
I know. Well, we should return the favor and let them be lazy and not have to shave every day.
Let's cut back on some of their maintenance. They have such amount of responsibilities. I'm always like, man, women have to do so much stuff.
They have so
and
much
not that they have to do it. They want, like, it's just a thing. They like doing it. It's like part of taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just glad we don't have to do that because we're just lazy. Like, I'm not good at doing that much stuff all the time.
They have to cleanse. I'll be a
fat, ugly, saggy ass chick, bro.
They have to remove makeup, cleanse, put a mask on, and then they have to start all over again the next day.
Plucking and trimming.
I don't want them having to shave their vagina anymore. I think it's too much. We're asking too much. You know what? Mm-hmm. Just fold it down. Use your hands. Fold it down. Spread up. Get a clean runway, clean alley. To land.
Maybe some branding. Maybe put a logo in there or something.
I mean, if you want to put like a Nike swoosh cut in there, I'm for it. Whatever. If you get sponsored, good for you.
You know, if you got plenty of traffic, you know, high corner, high density amount of people, eyes on the ad, you know what I mean? We're talking about some serious cash here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, you've always been that way. You know, you're a real selfless guy, but again, a lot of your ideas won't even benefit you personally.
Mm-mm.
It's about more mankind as what you're looking out after.
Right. I mean, cause sexually I would rather it be clean shaven, freshly shaven, or waxed, even better. Yeah. But I'm willing to put up with my beard entangling with your vagina beard.
Yeah.
I'm willing to put up with that. Because
you
work hard enough.
Another check mark in the good guy box for old Todd McComas. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a strong chance we have to get a storage unit because we ran out of check marks in this fucking box.
I mean,
we're going to have to get a new space, more space for these check marks because you're just a good guy.
I mean, if I get nominated for some type of humanitarian award, I won't not accept it. I'll say that.
Great way to put it.
Right. I'm not looking for it, but I will accept it.
I mean, some days I know, and I'm going to say it down before we get out of here, is that I'm just thankful that you even allow me to do a podcast with you.
I mean,
like, just when I tell people who my co-host is, it kind of sets them back. They're like, wait, the good guy? They changed the end of the letter the, like the E goes, it's no longer silent. They go, the, you know, when you put the good guy, like, you are the face of good guy.
You're talking about the ex-cop feminist?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just charitable.
You're on the front lines of equal rights, you were actually responsible for the 3% increase in female pay wage last year in corporate America.
Absolutely.
And no one knows that. I'm just saying it because maybe you do want. I know you don't want the credit, but you know what? Maybe sometimes it's a little overdue, and maybe now is the time.
Listen, stop shaving, get rid of the bras, relax. Relax for a while. It's about time you ladies got to relax. That's all I'm saying.
It's okay, ladies, to take a break. It's okay to take a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, buddy. Hey, let's tell everybody right now, YouTube.
Please. YouTube, homie, please. We're going to start doing hammering away at the stories. Also, guys, we got some shows coming up. So go to the website. We got Ohio coming up. Jewett, Ohio.
An hour and 15 minutes if you live in Pittsburgh. And if you live in Columbus, Ohio, I think it's 2 hours, you know? Yeah, it's kind of
the east side of Ohio, roughly.
Yeah, yeah. So you can get to it easily.
12 to 7 hours.
A lot of people in Pittsburgh have been asking us when we're coming there. You know what? Don't roll the dice, because who knows, in this post-COVID market, we're only an hour from you. Come to Jewett, Ohio, August 14th. It's a Saturday. Check the website. There's a link to the show.
Got Louisville coming up August 19th and 20th. I got September 11th weekend. I'm in Fort Wayne. So we got some tickets. We got some shit coming up. I got to get on the promotion this week. Is going to be a big time for all that happening for me. Getting a lot done.
Nice.
Love you, buddy.
Love you.